super fly. Give this lonely girl a try. There's no need to be shy, 'cause you're my kind of guy. Now I'm weak at the knees and I'm begging pretty please. Won't you be mine?
You're listening to Right Back Atcha, the 2000s pop music podcast hosted by David Lim and me, myself and I, Joel Babington. This is part two of our Aussie special. We hope you enjoyed part one. It was one big strawberry kiss for absolutely everybody. Now, if you're not already, do follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a lovely 5-star review. On that note, let's dive back into celebrating these iconic Aussie ladies of pop. David Lim, I have a question for you. Who was Sister to Sister? Not to be confused with M2M.
Exactly, because for a while as a kid, I was seeing S2S and M2M, and I was like, what is this trend with putting two, the number two, between letters? But yes, look, we are in the middle of our Aussie pop experience. I hope you guys are enjoying it so far. And sorry to be weighing on so much, but I'm just so excited to be sharing these Aussie artists with the JB and you guys. And now we have Sister to Sister. Now, in the early 2000s, Jolie B, we had a very brief but fabulous ARIA award-winning pop duo called Sister to Sister. Now, no surprise, they are sisters. Set the blueprint for the Veronicas, although they weren't twins. I think there's a 3-year age difference between the girls.
Could have fooled me.
Exactly. They do kind of look like, yeah, could have been twins. So that's Christine and Sharon Muscat from Sydney. They come from a musical family. The girls have been performing around Sydney in their pre to late teens. So they were always just sort of like out there gigging, I guess. And it was through this way that they were sort of scouted by the legendary grand dame of Australian pop, Tina Arena.
Really? Tina's, yeah, proteges.
Oh, Tina saw them perform at some local awards ceremony, and she told her then husband / manager, Ralph Carr, who we mentioned before, kind of like, yeah, keep an eye on these girls. They're really good. And then he signs them to his management company and develops them. The girls end up signing a record deal with Mushroom Records, which is Australia's flagship independent label at that time. It was started by the late and great Michael Gudinski, who passed away last year. You know, everyone from Kylie and Danny and all these
scandalous
icons. Scandalous were part of Mushroom Records. So, yeah, it's not a bad look for these girls. Now, Sister,
they are kind of a bit like Tina Arena times two as well, saying
and
that.
Because, yeah, the vocals are there, and also like the hairstyle, like I can see Tina doing some of this hair sometimes. So Sister to Sister only ever released one album with three singles, but they promoted and toured extensively around the world, US, UK, Asia, Europe. They even opened for
Britney
for 6 dates on her Oops, I Did It Again tour in the US. And they also opened for 5 in the UK.
They opened for Britney in the UK as well. Wikipedia's wrong.
Iconic. So they're a gold-selling number 3 charting album artiste with 2 top 5 singles. And I think really the only other act we'll talk about today with a UK top 20 hit.
I feel like they are ones that people have asked us to talk about.
Really?
Yeah. And there is surprisingly, even though the chart single's not as high, the second single, like, I already knew. When I heard it, I was like, I know, I've already heard this song.
Wow. Okay, well, let's kickstart with October 1999, the debut single by Sister to Sister, literally called Sister. We've had some amazing sisterly groups in history. The Veronicas, as we said, Mary Mary, Cleopatra, our girls here.
Vocally, they really remind me of Cleopatra, like Cleo's
voice.
And also,
this song is kind of Cleopatra-ish in essence, because I think Coming At Ya is about the family, right? About the sisterhood and stuff. So in a way, it does seem like a very rather niche concept record, but then you realize that most people in the world have siblings and most people have sisters, probably. So
I've got 3.
Exactly. It's not that unrelatable. I mean, look at some of the lyrics here. I mean, it is on the nose, but she borrows clothes from me and I never get them back again. And she locks the bathroom door, says 5 minutes more, and an hour later, I'm still not in.
To be fair, Kylie could sing that about me. Even the clothes.
I was going to say, like, JB, how do we do a JB and DL housemate song?
JB's in the shower doing a concerty and all DL needs is a wee.
Look, that is the crossover project they didn't see between JB2 and DL2. Maybe we do a joint single.
The rivals together again.
House mates with the number 8
and a Z
mates,
at the end.
Mates.
Oh my god, fan bloody fantastic. 2022's answer to Sister to Sister.
Exactly. Now, this was co-produced and co-written by Joe Muscat. I don't know who Joe is. Like, is Joe the dad? But when you Google it, it comes up with Malta's prime minister. So I like to think that their dad is probably the former prime minister.
That is the sitcom. These, I know they're not twins, but in the sitcom, we'll write them as twins. Twin wannabe pop stars that are overshadowed by their Malta dad prime minister and all the hijinks that ensues. I mean,
it
writes
it's kind
itself.
Of sweet life of Zach and Cody, but in Malta, yeah. And like, you know, presidential suites and stuff.
And a lot more musical numbers. Yeah. I personally think other songs are stronger, but it makes sense as using this as a way to launch them. It's like sister, we're sister to sister.
It's a concept, yeah.
But this is a dream music video. We've got gorgeous colour palette here. The pinks, the purples, the greens. Split screen. You're selling it. Like, they packaged it up and sold it, which is why it makes so much sense to go with this. This did wonders and numbers, David. Number 3 in Australia. Do you remember this song coming out? Were you in the... You were in 99?
Yeah, I was... Just in Australia, like, we landed that year.
Picked it up at the airport.
Sister to Sister was quite present. And I remember, yeah, this being mentioned a lot. But I think the next single that we talk about is the one that's like, whoa. Really,
yeah,
in my face.
I think we'll always... So even though this will have higher charts, the next one's the one that I think that stayed in our hearts. So we've got number 3 in Australia, 73 on the Euro Hot 100, number 50 in Ireland, 14 in New Zealand. Ooh. 18 in Scotland, 18 in the UK, and 6 on the UK Inter.
18 in the UK. This was a top 20 hit here.
And they wouldn't have even done Britney yet. Maybe they had.
Yeah.
I went to the Oops, I Did It Again tour, and I fact-checked it. Well, I've seen a Smash Hits clipping that says Sister to Sister. It was an ad, and it said special guest Sister to Sister. So I know they did do the UK dates. I unfortunately don't recall them. You know, I was very young. I just remember Britney. And the other support acts are all blown to one from the other concerts. I don't remember them, unfortunately. But very impressive chart stats from the get-go for an Aussie act compared to like kind of what we're seeing across the board.
So at the 2000 ARIA Awards, Sister won Best Independent Release. So yeah, these girls are ARIA Award winners. And it was also nominated for Highest Selling Single alongside our girls, Bardot's Poison, Vanessa Amorosi's Absolutely Everybody. But it lost to Madison Avenue, Don't Call Me Baby.
A great time for Australian pop music.
A great time for Aussie pop, right? Yes. This is why I was so enthused to do this episode, because like this capsule of time, we were doing our damn thing.
You didn't want to include Maddie Avers in this hit?
Oh, it would be a 5-hour record otherwise.
Why not make it 6? So, David, look, you're going to be in the edit pulling your hair out and you're thinking to yourself, what's a girl to do? But don't get so tense when I hang with my friends, 'cause it's not making sense and it's not like you. What's a girl to do? Tell me what to do with a boy like you. What's a girl to do with a boy like you? I love that you were already like familiar with this, or this felt familiar to you. Do you remember how it came on your radar? No. It's just one of those songs that, you know, when you're like, I know this is Max Martin-esque, like, what's a girl to do?
I had this written down in my notes. This is a very JB song.
Yes.
What a dizzying production this is. It, you know, clubby, synthy, very late 90s, but also like that incredible mix of something sounding very teen pop in an 18s way, but also like radio friendly and also could work for a club.
It's the perfect mix over of 18s, Britney, NSYNC, like in a great way. I would have thought they were European or American again. I wouldn't have thought they were Australian artists. I don't know what that kind of what that means. It's just what your ear picks up. Two amazing music videos. So I'm really interested. So we've got this one Miami beach, expensive music video, full out routine, looking fantastic. And then we've got this other one in a club.
Which, I think that's the Aussie original.
You think that's the original? Okay.
Yeah, I think that is the original. So similar to Vanessa's story where we're talking about her debut single, her first two singles, the Aussie music video, the original videos are a little bit more 90s grunge looking. You know, we got one sister with an electric guitar, the other with drums, and a sepia tone. It just kind of looks...
mad, isn't it?
Mad and different, different vibe. And then the glossier American music video... Do you think they filmed that while they were on tour with Britney?
Yeah, really good point. They must have done it while they were on the road with Britney, because Miami's so expensive to get to, especially when you're in Australia. Why wouldn't you just do it there?
I think a more grungy, rocky look suited the Australian market more. And then when you want to promote internationally, give us the choreo.
And these girls can really dance. Really, really. Like, I was like, no, it's so, I'm like, you're a fantastic vocalist and you're fantastic dancers. This is mad.
It's also like the styling is also very like Dawson's Creek of that time, don't you feel? Like that kind of
Yeah, and like MTV Spring Break sort of thing.
Exactly. And it's sort of like the daytime version of Genie in a Bottle, and then the nighttime shots, you know, with all the light bulbs and everything above them, jeans and a sexy top for the night routine. I was like, oh, these girls are not resting, dancing from day to night.
Day two night. Oh, that's what our duo should be called. We loved Sister to Sister, so we wanted to do Day to Night.
Joel, so must say the quote-unquote urban mix of What's a Girl to Do was featured on the Bring It On soundtrack.
Wow, now that's impressive. We've got Atomic Kitten, See Ya, and Sister to Sister, What's a Girl to Do on the Bring It On soundtrack. And Bewitched's Hey Mickey, I think. I think Bewitched do a cover of Mickey, yeah.
That A&R person should win a Grammy.
Or at least a GLAAD award.
Oh, yeah, okay, that.
So this was a top five smash in Australia, David. 25 in New Zealand, 58 in Scotland, 61 in the UK, but number 11 on the UK indie charts.
So let's quickly talk about their debut album and only album to date, One, which is, you know, you got the numeral two in your artist name. So, and this is your debut album. Of course, you would call it One. Vocals were served here, Jolie B. I mean, this is a sassy teen pop album, but also like lots of mid-tempos, and it's kind of like a flex for the vocals, right?
Yeah, huge vocals. I would have personally loved a few more bops on the album.
Same.
Because the singles that reel you in, there's not really any to...
match that, really, yeah. But we love it as a showcase of vocals. Yes. Again, you know, the girls actually have writing credit on every track, so hats off to Sharon and Christine.
Sharon and Christine, hats off to ya.
It was co-produced by Joe, who could be their dad or brother or the Prime Minister of Malta. And Pam Reswick, who co-wrote Tina Arena's iconic hit, Chains.
Wow.
So again, Dame Tina's connection there. The one song I do want to give a shout out to, album track, is Never Like That. Now, this is a moody mid-tempo with a hip-hop beat. And, you know, I love a bit of R&B, hip-hop stuff. And I feel like this speaks to the All Saints fans. When did it get so hard for you to come around? We were never like that. Never like that. Now there's a distance between us. Gorgeous.
So, as we were saying, no like 11 out of 10 bangers apart from the singles. But we've got Tender on here, which is very slow. But once it gets going, it's a nice bit of a power ballad. Absolutely lovely. And then How Could You Doubt? is stunning. And it sounds a bit similar to Angel of Mine.
Oh. I mean, Diane Warren's impact, that's all we can say. For me, another highlight is the final single from Sister to Sister. Now, this one completely passed me by. Too Many Times, which charted at number 35 in Australia, but wow, this was an up-tempo moment.
Another banger and another beach music video.
Again, filmed in US.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you think this is Miami still or do you think it's Australia?
I mean, knock out two music videos while you're there. Why not?
Yeah.
Save a bit of cost.
I quickly looked. I was like, are they the same outfits? No.
Dancing in the middle of the road, on the pavement, by the pool, dancing everywhere. The girls were giving choreo.
They were dancing in the street. Should have got Nicki in it. And what a final single to have.
And I find it really interesting that they were so big with this album and obviously promoted overseas and stuff and all that, but you know, the following year, they came back to Australia and pivoted to be TV presenters.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing MTV in Australia, which is fine and is a great gig. But I would see that as kind of, okay, keep your profile up, do the MTV stuff so the public falls in love with you and has, you know, develops an affinity with you, and then go back to the music stuff. But they never did. So this album was a number 3 hit in Australia, certified gold, 27 in New Zealand. We don't have a follow-up to this very date, but as of 2004 onwards, there is the Sister to Sister School of Singing that both sisters set up and is still running to this very day.
And as of today, I've enrolled.
You could be like a guest professor, JB.
I applied as a student and they asked me to be a guest lecturer. I can't believe it.
Now, Sharon and Christine, very prominently as of the last, I want to say 10 plus years, have been backing vocalists for the legendary Delta Goodrum. So you always see them on tour, always rehearsing with Delta, doing shows, even up till now. So,
and you know that's going to be a vocal show. You know, Delta and vocals, you need the strongest backing possible.
Yeah.
Of that standard, that caliber.
But I love that she got both sisters. It's like, yes, of course. Like, why would I pick one when my pockets are lined and I can afford two and more?
She should let him do an opening set.
Yeah. What's a girl to do? Down, 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 down.
Imagine that in an arena or a stadium, just those heavy da-na-na-na-na-na, so dramatic in the best possible way of music. It's also like, do you remember those twins from Aussie Pop Stars Series 2? They ended up being Prince's backing singers.
Wow.
So, David, I've loved that from one sister to sister. I have a question for you, though. Who is Leah Haywood?
Let's get into Miss Leah Haywood. And I just want to give a very quick shout out to Joe Daddick, because I know that Joe has asked us, oh, you know, would we cover Leah? And I think at first I was like, I don't know how we would do this, but this special feels like a right time to bring up Leah. And also because there's one particular single that I thought, okay, this is right up the JB's street. So I thought, let's throw Leah in here. Listen, she was one of these Aussie girls that was really doing the damn thing in 2000, 2001. Yes, it was a short period of time in this era for her. We only got one album and 5 singles, but her most enduring contribution to music is as a songwriter and producer to this very day. So after this stint as, you know, glossy pop Australian pop princess, she moved to LA, transitioned to making her bread and butter as a writer and producer for so many of our faves, Joel.
So many.
Her and her husband, Daniel, started Dream Lab. So you might see that name pop up a lot in album, like pop album credits. This includes Selena Gomez, Stars Dance, Come and Get It, When the Sun Goes Down, those albums. Ali and AJ, your faves. I mean, that was really Leah's first big break as a writer in America, doing Ali and AJ. Hannah Montana, The Cheetah Girls, Vanessa Hudgens, Your Girl, Ashley Tisdale, Fifth Harmony, The Veronicas, and recently Blackpink, Lovesick Girls, and also Katy Perry's Never Really Over.
Oh my God.
Get it, Leah.
And Lovesick Girls was a lot of people's favorite from that album.
Also, Miss Leah sang backing vocals for the Celine Dion.
Didn't she get, like, didn't the Justin Bieber song she did get a Grammy nomination or a Grammy win?
Yeah. Oh, she also did Justin. I mean, yes. We're going to mention some male artists here. Let's mention Justin.
Ryan Cabrera, Mandy Moore, Britney.
Britney. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, so I was saying, yeah, she sang backing vocals for Celine. That's the way it is. And also Britney's Out From Under from the Circus album,
which was originally on the Bratz soundtrack, which is just as iconic. Oh. I'm getting a bit flustered just looking at these credits. Even on Selena's revival album, so it wasn't just the Disney adjacent stuff, it's even the more recent stuff.
Very happy to see that for Leah, and that's why we're celebrating her on this episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're taking it all the way to her debut album. It's worth mentioning that Leah Haywood is now a current artiste. She made a comeback in March last year, releasing her first single in 20 years under a new stage name, Haywood, her surname, or her stage surname. Cheers to us. That's a single. There's been several singles out as well. Please check it out, because we love to see this songwriter, producer, multi-talented artist come back into the spotlight.
Maybe I'll end up in New York City on 17th. Oh, that sounds good to me. Oh, yeah. Because we talk and talk.
So, quick origin story. Leah was born in New Zealand and raised in Perth, Western Australia. She started studying classical piano at the age of 6, then trained as a singer as well very quickly. She started writing songs in her teens, and she even studied at the Conservatorium of Music in Paris between the age of 19 and 21, like literally music prodigy level. And then she, you know, I think she knew at that point, she's like, okay, I don't want to like make that kind of music. I want to make pop music. I want to be a pop songwriter. So she moves to Sydney in 1999, signs a record deal with Sony at age 23. And this is where it begins.
Me and you, to our listeners, we think it's love. So in the year 2000, our girl, Leah, releases her debut single, We Think It's Love. Now, I'm just going to say from here on out, from this album and this moment in time, I think it's so rare from an Australian artist that you see this sort of American ready sound and budget, even across the music videos and everything. So really, really special.
What we want, what we need is not there anymore. We think it's love, 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 love. But it's crazy. We can't get it right. Still we carry on. This is love, 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 love. Thinking maybe we've been going on far too.
We Think It's Love, what a fantastic debut. This was featured on Neighbours, Rite of Passage, and also in a much bigger scale on the film soundtrack and the film itself of What Women Want. And I think this is the perfect big American pop sounding soundtrack. I would even put it in JB the movie.
This is the first, y'all. You heard the exclusive first. There is a JB the movie coming with this gorgeous rom-com. I'm guessing it's a rom-com, JB.
Well, with this song, it's got to be, isn't it?
Absolutely fantastic. So Leah wrote this, and this is her signature hit. She wrote this in Sweden with Jörgen Ellefsen, who wrote Britney Sometimes. And this was so present on Australian radio. It's like, I think it's funny you said about the American influence, because like, yeah, we know, say in this point, 2000, the world knows Australia for Natalie Imbruglia, Torn. I mean, this could be the second wave of that. Mm. You know, Leah could be the next Aussie girl doing this kind of guitar pop, right?
Yeah. And what it feels like she straddles in this whole era perfectly is like main American pop, like Britney adjacent, but it does also still have like cool, edgy indie-ish feel about it.
There is a singer-songwriterly element to it, yeah. So this song was absolutely inescapable, JB, but I didn't know that there were two different music
wild,
videos.
Wild, isn't it? And I also don't understand why. So let's talk about the first one, the Australian one. If Nicki defined Y2K, this defines a more teen grown-up definition of Y2K. And to me, this is perfect. It's high budget and there is no need for a second music video.
I don't know, maybe they thought it was a little too like kind of pop and a little too, you know, yeah, teen pop gimmicky, because there's a lot of Y2K futuristic tech.
Which I love in it.
I need and love. I mean, that machine that she leaves a voicemail on, which is basically a computer orb. She's got a little thin metal chrome headset and she's like dictating the song and also a message for her boyfriend in there. And it just comes up on this orb, this screen. Need. And that house party scene where she's got like a laptop descending from the ceiling and then it bounces back up. I'm like, of course.
No expense spared for Miss Leah. So we've got the second video, which I'm guessing is for more the UK and US. It's a bit more mature, but what is nice though, even though I don't think it's needed, it feels just as expensive. We normally see with this situation, one doesn't feel as expensive as the other. We're in a maze. No, I don't think there's a routine in this one, if I remember correctly. Less
no,
dancing.
I feel like it's just her by herself in this modern minimalist mansion in Barcelona. And, you know, it's jeans and a nice top, but in a very Charlene Spiteri kind of way. You know, so I guess you get to see more of who Leah is as an artist. You know, they're kind of giving you the mood board of who she is. Whereas I think the first video is just like teen pop. Mm. That's the brief. Off you go.
Which I would have felt was quite American facing, but who knows? It's interesting how it's kind of like the reverse of Sister to Sister in a way of what they were doing with Sister to Sister.
Yeah, because I guess, yeah, I don't really know what they were trying to do with Leah here, because like, yes, she is singer-songwriterly, but also like they're trying to appeal to the teens and ride that smash hits thing. And maybe for the international market, they thought, okay, well, let's do something a little more pared back.
So in your homeland, Devo, number seven, smash, gold.
The next single completely passed me by. I didn't even know this was a thing. So
are you crazy?
Crazy, literally. August 2000, crazy. Gotta find a way how to get to you. Lovely soft guitar mid-tempo. I feel the music video doesn't really go with it, but yes, give us that Y2K aesthetic.
Yeah, all I've got is Leah is the grown-up Nicki. That's what she's serving us. But I am obsessed with that green and purple padded room.
Do you think it's the same padded wall that we see in Spice Girls, Who Do You Think You Are?
This felt very adjacent to that.
This is directed by Mark Hartley, who, you know, iconic go-to Y2K music video of the time in Australia, did Bardo's Poison, did Scandalous Me, Myself and I. Like, he is your boy. And Mark has delivered this video for this song, which I think is frankly a lot better than what the song deserves, in my humble opinion.
Well, let's move on. That was number 31 in the Arias.
Now, I wonder, because this single sort of stalled at 31, whether this affected her album production and rollout. Because did the label go, oh, this isn't working, we need a change of vibe? Because the next single, the following year, was like, hold up a minute.
Yeah, so do you think they were like, this isn't working, so Leah needs to take back what's hers?
The label accounts department, taking back what's mine.
There you go, Leah, you can have that.
The expenses. Also, can I just say this song, the spoken word bits crack me up. I'm taking back what's mine. The stereo, the goldfish. I was like, the goldfish bit got me, because I'm like, I love goldfish. I'm like, yes, I'm taking back the goldfish. You're not keeping my fucking goldfish.
I hope it survives the trip. You got to be very careful with these things.
You think I'm wrong, but you don't know what's right.
right, Taking Back What's Mine. I am obsessed with this one.
This is the whole reason why I wanted to do Leah Haywood in this episode, because I'm like, I need the JB
This is you. Right, so to me, right, watching this, I'm like, Ellie Campbell needed this song and music video. This would have launched her career really well and pushed it to the next level in the UK. Also, those dancers, David, invented Lady Gaga.
It just doesn't make sense in a way. You know, Leah's got this girl next door rock chick styling. You know, it's jeans and a nice top, but very edgy. And then we have these four backing dancers in black latex cat suits and like kind of burglar eye mask. I'm like, what are they doing? What are they doing in my house?
Listeners, we are all young divas that are taking back what's ours. And this is an American-ready pop star.
Yeah.
Huge.
So that's what makes me think, like, okay, because the last single didn't work, I wonder if the label's kind of like, okay, vibe change, like, she needs to do something more Britney-esque. But even then, I feel like, even in the video, Leah's like, I'm not giving you choreo because I'm not that type of girl. I'm a singer-songwriter.
She's very good at being around the choreo, though. It feels natural. It feels right. It doesn't feel like I'm awkwardly here.
What's super funny about this that I just learned is that there is a censored and uncensored version of this video. So there is an action sequence in the breakdown where the girl kicks the guy, very Matrix style, but somehow that is deemed too violent for video hits in Australia.
What about Rage?
Not for Rage, though. Rage on ABC played the uncensored version. So I just feel like, okay, come on, guys. Like, kids are watching action films. Like, this is not too violent.
I mean, look, we get that now, though, with other stuff. It's like, there are really violent films that are deemed okay for kids, but, you know, a loving film with, like, maybe a same-sex couple is not okay. Like, where's the line? Mm. So don't censor Leah and don't censor the community, okay? But this really is, like, grade A, fantastic, like, delivered and more, and the world should have stood up and loved it, absolutely loved it. But this peaked at number 18 in Australia.
And then next comes, in July 2001, the Leah debut album. Originally was going to be titled, one of the songs on the album, My Own Thing, but apparently they changed it really close to release date to just Leah. Now, JB, this album is, you know, more mid-tempo and closer to We Think It's Love vibe rather than Taking Back What's Mine. So I was kind of like, okay, you've made this whole big show and tell and a bit of a stunt with that song. And then there's not really anything else on the album for that.
Yeah, it's tricky. But I don't know. Who knows? But then that also really does sum up the time. We'd buy these albums and then, like, you'd be here, sometimes you'd buy fantastic albums and sometimes they'd be like, okay, the singles really are the best bits on here. But standout track for me is Just To Make You. So, you know, is this a single, isn't it? There's no music video, there's no chart stats. So we're going to take it as an album track that was maybe a promo single. This is another track with a very American edge and feel to it, and love it. Another one I loved was, again, very much the same feel. One Word was featured on the Australian audition. So, like, Dawson's Creek, the soundtrack, Volume 2.
Okay, good placement. All right.
Good placement. Shame it wasn't on the American version, though. Could have had your Jessica Simpson moment. And here, what I was mentioning to you earlier, I think when we were talking about Vanessa, this is starting to verge towards Michelle Branch territory-ish. And I just feel like this whole project really needed an American push, because I think that's the market that would deal well with that light and shade. We've got this in-your-face teen pop, but then we've got here Michelle Branch-ish, which is what the industry's leaning to. So you've got a bit of both there.
Kind of feels like that's who she is. You know, she didn't want to be doing like Britney-esque pop necessarily, perhaps.
Well, so the final single, Summer of Love, the song starts and I feel like, oh, I'm not sure what this is, but the chorus kicks in and it reeled me right in. And I feel this song has the Euro market in mind. It's Channel 10's promo ident for the Summer of Love.
Oh my God, I was going to say, this feels like a song you can hear in a network commercial. Like, yeah, they're unveiling their summer programming.
And Leah did also perform it at National Carols by Candlelight. And nothing says Aussie Xmas more than Summer of Love. I do feel like the album just needed a few more bops. Like, it needed a When You Put Your Hands on Me or like a Closer to Perfection.
But I get it. And which is why I feel like, okay, was this album written after We Think It's Love? And then because Crazy didn't do what it needed to do, they were like, hold up a minute. Let's do a stunty teen pop record to reel people back in and then really give you the album that was what should have come out a year before. But look, hats off to Leah. She did her damn thing here. The album sadly only made number 40 in Australia, which is a great achievement. But, you know, we know what these labels are like and what they're thinking. Leah was nominated as Best Female Artist at the Arias in 2001. And upon reflection, she has said, you know, there were some timing issues that affected her album release. Didn't sound like she was too happy with what was going on, and she asked to be released from her contract.
Wow.
Which they did. Feel like the label wasn't like doing their most for Miss Leah at this point, so, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. It's like, well, if you're going to spend all that money, like, give it the commitment to follow up with as well, you know?
And like you said, this was a very American facing release, and I feel like Leah as a songwriter knew what she was doing, and she probably hoped that it would have gotten some more push, but it was what it was, and she clocked it, and she was like, okay, well, I'm going to do my own thing. Thanks for your help thus far, but I'll take it from here.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go
taking off back what's mine, my talent,
yeah,
my songs, my demos,
my writing,
my vocal stems,
my girls, Ali and AJ.
And then straight away, she set her sights on America. She wanted to move on to bigger and better things. Her and her husband moved to LA. And she said at that time, she had three labels that were interested in her. But this was also the time in the noughties where like these major labels were like going through mergers and acquisitions and stuff. And we've seen lots of our faves get lost in a shuffle. And as a result, Leah's prospects didn't look that good at that time. So as a result, just to keep surviving, she said, you know, we had to make our money. Writing and producing for other artists kind of fell on our laps. We started doing Craigslist demos and end up doing a demo for a girl that got heard by a huge TV producer, she said. And he was looking after a duo called Ali and AJ. And Leah said, we developed Ali and AJ and signed them to Hollywood Records. And then they sold a million copies. So they kind of got our start into writing and producing for other people, which we've done ever since.
Yeah, and then she went off and she became Australia's answer to Vitamin C, being a huge contribution to the music industry. I wonder if they've ever worked together on a writing session or anything.
It feels like these artists, like, you know, the artists they work on, Hannah Montana, the Disney stuff, like, that's...
I bet.
I wonder if she and Colleen are friends. Like, do they do dinner?
Yeah, I bet she'd say, if you chatted to her, I bet she'd say, oh, yeah, I know Colleen. Oh, Colleen's lovely. Oh, I have to tell her. Oh, she'll love that. What song did you say? The Itch. Let me write that down. Loved. Gays love The Itch. Okay, thank you. So, David Lim, I have a question for you. Who is Joanne?
Okay, so before Stefani Germanotta, there was actual Joanne doing her thing in Australia. Now, this is another and our final celebrated artiste on today's episode. Joanne is an ARIA Award-winning powerhouse vocalist of the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. And honestly, we were so blessed in this time. And I feel like Joanne is probably going to be the honeyest of Hun's releases that we'll cover on this episode. And I can't wait to get into it with you. We have definitely saved the most handbags on the floor for the last here.
Get the poppers out. Get your jock strap on. Oh. Meet us on the dance floor.
Now, I see Joanne as sort of the unofficial young diva, like the sixth member. Do you get that energy, that vibe from her as well?
track one, I'm saying the Young Divas should have covered this. So, yes.
She could have stepped in at any time in the lineup. And I feel like Joanne could have vibed with the girls, whatever the lineup is, and just really, like, you know, do vocal to vocal powerhouse with them. Now, there actually is a Young Divas connection here with our Jo. She was signed to Blue Planet Productions, the label production company owned by George Papapetros. George and his partner in crime produced the Young Divas albums. You know, they were in different eras. Obviously, Joanne was early 2000s and Young Divas happened later, but, you know.
Close enough.
Close enough in the same little black book of contacts.
Yeah, another equally powerful voice to go head to head with them. Would love to have seen it. Or even like a big like Arias performance or Logie's performance or
Pride
something.
Pride performance. Ugh.
Right. This is like the Pride tent now at the right back at your Aussie Ladies of Pop Festival.
Now, Joanne, at the height of her career, supported Destiny's Child on tour, it seems. I read in Girl magazine. And she is low-key a gay icon for Aussie gays in the know. You know, she's a friend of the community and...
Didn't she pop in our Instagram live with big nostalgic energy?
I feel like she did. Oh my God, icon. But she's like, just seems like a genuinely lovely lady that like, I just want to be friends with.
Yeah.
So let's start off with the most signature hit of Miss Joanne's career. 1999, Jackie, BZ featuring Joanne. Now this is the covers of an 80s song, which was made popular by Lisa Stansfield's band, Blue Zone.
I feel like this, I know it's a cover, but I feel like this is the You Make Me Feel Mighty Real of the 90s.
Oh my God. In Australia, this is like pop culture canon, Joel. So even before I knew who Joanne was, and I'll get to the single that I'm talking about, you cannot say Jackie in Australia without people going, Jack, Jack, Jackie. Like, it's such a part of pop culture. Even Kyle and Jackie O were joking about it last year on their show. This music video, Joel, what'd you make of it?
This feels very early 90s, the music video and the sound, to be honest. Like that, you know, we had some amazing club classics in the 90s across the whole decade. It felt like something your friend could have made at home, but I love that about it.
I love that kind of makeshift quality of it. And also, like, this was a random dance track and no one knew it was going to blow up so bloody big. You know, Joanne here was channeling kind of 80s glamour, but then there were some looks that were very like 90s silhouette. You know, I'm obsessed with the high neck black tank top look she has, the high ponytail, the smoky eye, the hooped earrings. Like, that was fierce. So, and it, like, this is such a classic that, yeah, this music video has 1.6 million views on YouTube.
Even without being from Australia, I just listened to it and I'm like, this must be like a big one.
What a great vocal performance from Miss Joanne. And this was what really put her on the map. Jackie won an ARIA Award for best-selling single in 1999. It was up against Silverchair, Savage Garden, all those lot. And Miss Joanne, yeah, she's an ARIA Award winner off the back of this single.
She had to have it.
She went on to release two more singles in 99, Pack Your Bags and Are You Ready, which were minor hits in Australia. But Joel, what I really want to bring you up to speed with is How I Came Into Joanne, which is this very seminal single, April 2001, So Damn Fine.
So damn fine.
And I lock it two times.
Thank you, Joanne and Anastasia, for joining.
So damn fine, and I love you one time. So damn fine, and I love you two times. So damn fine, and I love you three times. So damn fine, and I love you, love you. Hey, superfly, and I love you, love you. There's no need to be shy.
You know, if a top three in Australia and a top five in New Zealand with Dracky wasn't enough. She wanted to get it back with So Damn Fine. This is all fantastic. And I've got to ask you, this has to be a gay anthem in Australia, right?
I mean, I want to think it's a gay anthem. Like, I feel like gays of a certain age, you know, our kind of era would know and hopefully appreciate it. But this was everything to me. I remember seeing this on Video Hits, and I believe Tina Arena's Soulmate Number 9 came out in the same year. So oh, I was brilliant. Obsessed with big soulful diva vocals with a 2000s disco pop production. Camp, camp, camp.
So I think they knew what they were doing with this one, surely.
They knew they were coming for the gays. I mean, you watched that music video, Jolie B, and topless men.
Loved it. Thought they were gorgeous.
They knew what they were doing. I mean, this was shot in Bali. I mean, it's kind of like Mariah Carey's Honey, but with like a Balinese resort feel to it.
Yeah. Gorgeous Y2K holiday music video. Precious needed a music video like this.
Literally stunning. Kyle Sanderlands of Kyle and Jackie O fame. Now, in an interview, both of them said that they would like make a cameo in the video or something. And like Kyle was meant to be appearing in Speedos. But in the final result, he only made a 3-second cameo, fully clothed, holding like one of those clapper boards, like, you know, in film. What a great kind of marketing ploy, and what a great PR stunt to
getting like Australia's radio top royalty. Radio show getting involved.
It's like, yeah, Kyle and Jackie, we'll fly out to Bali for the video shoot, you know, give our single a good mention. And also in this time, I must say, very prominent Big Brother Australia performance. You know, this was the time where that was just what you had to do.
A TV opportunity is a TV opportunity, David. But yeah, this is... So if you had to, like, pick one, would it be Jackie or this?
Depending on who it is, I might put Jackie forward as the anthem you get into. But in my heart of hearts, So Damn Fine is the one for me. What are you leaning towards?
Yeah, I think So Damn Fine as well. Jackie is like club dance banger classic, but So Damn Fine is like RVT. Like, it's like more pride in a great way. And we're two gay men, so like,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
A tribute
it's
for
retro
us.
Bar anthem classic. Like, hey, super fine, there's no need to be shy, cause you're my kind of guy.
Amazing. So Damn Fine was a top 25 hit on the Arias.
Look, I think Joanne went through a period of about 2 years of putting this album together. I don't know what the deal is with her label situation, but it seemed like they were really trying to build off the success of Jackie. And those two singles she had after it was kind of moderate hit, but it felt like everyone sat up and noticed when she did So Damn Fine. And that was my first way in with it. But it was that year that she released her debut album and only album to date, Do Not Disturb. And, you know, by the time the album comes out, there was really like 5 singles on it. Shall I quickly mention the other single that I'm obsessed with, Joel, that I hope you love?
Yeah, I just want to say though, Do Not Disturb, what an album title. I feel like that could easily just be DL1 or JB. I mean, that could easily be DL2 or JB2. Like, Do Not Disturb.
Shh, don't say nothing. Do not disturb this hun.
So tell, please do tell me the other single you're obsessed with.
I don't know. Joel, I felt like you would really like this song.
Yeah. I've got capital letters. Okay, I love this. And 6 exclamation points.
I'll be smiling on the outside and wishing you well, but I'm dying on the inside. It's hurting me like hell. Don't know how to let you go. Just don't know. I don't know what to do. Now I don't know what to say. Don't know if I get through or if this pain won't go away. Don't know if I can breathe. Just don't know what to feel. Cause I don't
You know, it is a classic wistful pop ballad, and it is about a long distance relationship or whatever, so it's got that sentimental element to it. But God, she gave it the Young Divas dance pop energy in it.
So I think this, and I know I've said it a lot this episode, but I do stand by it on every single time. This could be a big American film soundtrack moment. Even in the music video we've got, you could imagine the music video interwoven with film clips.
Like film montage,
yeah.
Tyler Perry film.
It just has that sound to it. And this could have been Joanne, the American launch in something like those projects or something like Sweet Home Alabama. You could, like that, like 2002, 2001 rom-com, Reese Witherspoon sort of feel. You see the trailer now. She has to make it, but she just don't know. Cue the song.
She's running for the plane. I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I just think she is absolutely fantastic, Joanne. And this music video with her in the black trench coat in the black and white scenes is giving that Paris via Melbourne suburbs a number 31 hit for Miss Joanne. And following So Damn Fine, I was very like interested to see what she did next. And she didn't disappoint with that single. And then comes the album, Do Not Disturb.
Now, David, I wanted to talk about some of the earlier singles from the album. Pack Your Bags. It feels a little bit like Janet and Luther, Best Things in Life Are Free. I feel like Joanne could have been a bit of a UK R&B dance darling.
Speaking of club, we gotta say one of the other singles on this album, Busted.
David, I've got on it, this is a DL track.
Oh, do you really think?
I think it's
I thought it was
you.
A JB track.
Oh.
Maybe it's a crossover. It's our Children in Need single.
Yeah. JBVDL. Now, to me, this is fabulous music video. It's very Lisa Scott Lee meets Louise.
It's so spicy and it's so slinky disco pop. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The kind of childish nursery rhyme bits are a little bit naff, but
liar, liar, pants on fire.
Na, 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 na. It's just like, really, we're doing this, Joanne? But okay, get it, girl.
You're busted.
But I love it in that sense of like, it's kind of a girls' night out music video, you know, female dancers in a club, like, and Joanne is giving choreo.
At the movie, at the playground, busted. In my bedroom, I got you, you ain't nothing but a liar.
And I love that, like, the narrative is she's dancing in a club, a boy's cheating on her, he's, like, having it off with another girl, and she starts singing to them through the TV.
As you do.
Only in 2001 could we.
We were obsessed with broadcasting ourselves on TV in any way possible.
And even in that video, right, to me at that point, it was the best Joanne music video so far. And red PVC outfits again, but this time in a boxing ring. Like, that hadn't been done yet. So
yeah, we haven't seen that. Pre-Christina's Dirty, right?
Yeah. So you're taking the red PVC, you're putting it in a boxing ring. Love it.
Oh my God. Concepts were served.
Do you have any standouts on the album, Davo? I thought there were some really interesting tracks on there. We've got All Through the Night, which is quite Atomic Kitten meets Mystique, which I was absolutely here for.
Quite Atomic Kitten meets, yeah, On a Night Like This kind of vibe. I think that was what they were going for, yeah.
All through the night is where you party.
And then we have to mention it. Phony Baloney is pretty genius. Fake and phony, phony baloney. I mean, it's just genius. Like, it's so ridiculous that it's genius.
It kind of felt like they were making a teen pop record, but like with this kind of more mature, soulful vocal diva, which I'm obsessed with that concept about, because like, who cares about age and like, you know, whatever vibes you are. Like, I'm here for it.
Personally, I feel like either of us could copy and paste this album and it be JB2 or DL2. And I think it could also be our handshake emoji, like the meeting in the middle.
Yeah, this is our joint album, because it's like the vibes are so us in everything we love. Like that kind of spicy R&B meets like disco pop. It's just, which is why I wanted to do it for this episode, because I feel like, JB, you need to know about Miss Joanne.
I do. So thank you, David, and thank you, Joanne.
She's performed a number of her hits at Rumba Festival that we've talked about a lot. She also, in 2016, did the Venga Boys National Tour as a special local guest.
Oh, fantastic.
Alongside Sonique, Tina Cousins, and Wigfield. So icons only. And
they could be the new young divas.
Oh my God, give us that lineup, please. Yeah, give us that joint tour. Joanne also recorded and released a duet with Australian singer Greg Gould. I think he's a musical theatre guy.
Yeah, he's just done stuff with
Katie Underwood, Bardot, yeah. So they did a duet of Janet Jackson's Together Again. Now that is essential. So, Jolie B, thank you so much for enduring this long record. I'm so appreciative that you're indulging me in this Aussie pop special.
David Lim, thank you so much for introducing me to these Australian icons. You say, look, I'm here for it. Like, a long record is like, I've had the best time ever. I don't consider this like a long record. I've just had loads and loads of fun. Thank you for being my guide and taking me through. Like, I know it's a huge responsibility and you've carried it all wonderfully. You should get a promotion right back at you, but there isn't one. You are fantastic. I love these Aussie divas. I love to get a bit more about your land down under and this crossover, and hopefully we'll get an impact on the UK official charts for these divas and their streams.
And look, this is also a real love letter for our Aussie listeners out there. You know, hopefully you guys are feeling like, yeah, we've done our local divas justice. And yeah, like, come on, you know, they deserve to be celebrated, right?
Absolutely. So Aussie listeners, we want to know who are your faves and what are your fave songs from today. UK listeners, we want to know who are your brand new faves. Maybe you already knew some of these stars already and who are your faves. Either way, just let us know what you're bloody loving. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. You can email us rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, bye.